I'm excited, Courtney.
Good afternoon, Jim. How are you?
I'm so excited about this guest. This is the most famous guest we've ever had known around the world. I'm just so amazed to be in the same virtual space as him. Woohoo! I mean, when I see this guy, I mean, I heard about him. I hear about him all the time when I go to restaurants and I'm ordering his bread. And I'm thinking, oh, this is the best bread ever. And to know that I'm going to be talking with this guy who invented this famous bread is just, it's just amazing to me. What a country.
Wait, who am I talking to today?
Well, the guy is the inventor of the Kaiser roll. So I'm thinking, Kaiser roll guy. How did he make his bread so wonderful? That's our guess, right?
The dad jokes are strong this morning, I see.
Yes, that was a joke for those who think they're on the cooking channel.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and slack you, Mr. Matt Kaiser's actual bio. If you could share that with me, please.
Yes, I will. I will share his bio now, and dear listener, know that he's not the inventor of the Kaiser roll, which I initially thought he might be. So here we go. I mean,
technically, we haven't asked him, so.
Matt Kaiser is a global talent leader, strategist, and advisor helping organizations maximize their talent impact. Most recently, Matt worked as the Director of Talent Acquisition at one of the nation's leading pediatric healthcare systems and a Fortune 100 Best Companies to Work For. In this role, he optimized the recruitment platform to be more efficient and effective and led a high-performing team to produce record hiring results. Previously, Matt helped reshape global talent acquisition at Ericsson, the world's leading provider of communications technology and cloud solutions, operating in 180 countries and employing more than 100,000 people. He lived and worked in both Australia and Singapore, building the talent strategy for Ericsson from the ground up. Matt led the development, execution, and measurement of multiple initiatives, including employer branding, strategic sourcing, recruitment marketing, diversity and inclusion, and TA analytics. In his past experience as a senior strategy consultant with a U.S. recruitment communications firm, Matt partnered with leading employers to customize their talent strategy platforms. Matt is a graduate of the Florida State University. He is an author and featured industry speaker at international HR events. You are listening to Tribe Pod, a podcast series of interviews of interest to the HR community. It is hosted by Courtney Lane, produced by Jim Stroud, sponsored by Proactive Talent, and enjoyed by you. Today's episode begins right after this.
On-demand recruiting is an hourly service that we offer where our recruiters work as an extension of your business, helping to fill your positions by finding top talent.
So on-demand recruiting is there to address issues in hiring when a company is experiencing a lot of growth, when they're having some seasonality changes, where they may temporarily need to expand their recruiting team. You maybe have a new line of business or a space where you're expanding your business and you need to bring in specialty expertise to help fill those niche roles that your internal team may not yet be ramped up on.
Proactive Talent's on-demand recruiting solution is quite different from a lot of the other models that you're going to see in the workplace. Whereas you're going to pay a contingency recruiting firm, typically on average around 20%, sometimes up to 30% of the first year salary of the person that you hire. And in that same period of time, you'll spend less than a quarter of that with Proactive Talent's managed on-demand recruiting solution.
For more information on Proactive Talent, visit them online at proactivetalent.com or click the link in the podcast description.
Today, I'm joined by Matt Kaiser. He is a consultant and thought leader in the talent acquisition and employer brand space and currently the director of talent acquisition at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. He's also an author and speaker and most recently talking about and sharing the value and power of purpose when we're designing our employer brand. Welcome, Matt. So happy to have you here today.
Thank you, Courtney. I appreciate it. It's nice to be here.
So I have to be honest. I've been looking forward to having this conversation with you because purpose is something that is a driver and motivator for me, really both personally and professionally. And so it is a big topic of interest. I'm curious, you know, it's one of those things that I think sometimes it gets used in so many spaces and in so many conversations, the definition can have a little bit of fluidity. So just to start things off, like, how do you personally define purpose? What does that sort of big word concept mean to you?
Sure. Yeah. So I kind of look at purpose in a couple of different ways. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. I think you can look at purpose in your own life, in your personal life, but also in your business life, I mean, in your professional life, I should say. So the way that I would define purpose is really the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. And I think, you know, we go through a lot of choices in our life, and I would refer to them as maybe crossroads that can lead us down two different paths. And the question always comes up, how do you know which path is right for you? And I think that really depends on your purpose. And, you know, when we look at purpose, as I'd mentioned, you know, personally, I think you can look at, do I have purpose in my life? And then when you look at professionally what you're doing, is it integrated in my profession? Am I doing what I'm meant to do as a profession? And I think there's a lot of different ways that you can look at that. One thing I did want to point out from a personal perspective, there's a term that is used in Japan. It's a term called ikigai. And it's, if you've ever spent time in Japan or maybe read the book The Blue Zones, you may be familiar with that term. It's a concept which means a reason for being. And everyone, according to the Japanese, has an ikigai. And finding that ikigai really requires a deep and lengthy search of yourself. But they really believe that it's important. That search is very important because they believe that finding that ikigai would bring meaning and satisfaction to your life. And so I think that is another way to kind of look at that purpose in your life.
So I love then how you're taking this concept that is something very personal and individually driven, and then you're saying you're really challenging companies, take it a step further and apply it to your organization. How does an organization go about that? When you're thinking about purpose, how does an organization then say, this is what purpose is to us, this large collective?
Sure. Yeah. So when I talk, I'll tell you how you can kind of find that in your personal life and then how you relate that to your organization. So as I'd mentioned, that term ikigai, there's really four components of that. The first is what you can be paid for. And that, I think a lot of us have that now. That's your profession and your vocation. The second component is what you're good at, which gets a little bit harder. So you might be doing what you can be paid for, but are you doing what you're good at? And then the third component is what you love. That's your passion and your mission. And then there's a fourth component, which is what the world needs. And that's the hardest component. And that's really the mission and the vocation. And so if you have all four of those in your life, that's really where you find that purpose, that meaning and satisfaction. And I think you can really relate that to the corporate world as well. And I think what companies really need to do is try to determine how do they integrate that purpose into their business. There's a couple of different organizations that are really doing this well. There's a company called Tom's Shoes, which mm-hmm. you may be familiar with. They of course, are a shoe company, and but they're a lot more than that. They're really an amazing organization that's founded on what's known as the one-for-one model. So for every pair of shoes they sell, they donate a pair to a child in need. And this is a for-profit company. It's not a nonprofit. But number one, it helps them to really kind of market their shoes, because people feel that if they're buying a pair of shoes, they're making a difference. But it also helps them to attract the right talent, people that really want to make a difference in doing things every single day. And so they built that model on one-for-one. There's a lot of other companies that are doing that, companies like Warby Parker, Mitscoots, Humble Brush, and so forth. But then there's other organizations out there that really are kind of doing it in different ways. They don't have the one-for-one model, but they're trying to make a difference in the world or in people's lives and the community. I would refer to it as what's known as conscious capitalism or conscious business. And it's those that choose to follow a business strategy where they're not just benefiting themselves or their company, but the world around them. And Richard Branson refers to it as the triple bottom line, which is people, planet, and profit. So no longer can you just think about profit in your model. You have to think about people and planet. You've got companies like Patagonia who integrate this into what's called their Common Threads initiative, designed to reduce excess consumption. You've got companies like Facebook, who are involved in the internet.org initiative, trying to connect the world and lift people out of poverty. You've got companies like Starbucks, who are focused on and promoting sustainable growing practices. So there's a lot of different ways that you can look at this. But I think you have to kind of look at your own company and try to determine what's right for our organization. How do we leverage our organization, the strength of our organization, our people, our technology, to really make a positive difference or impact in the world?
So would you say then that, maybe a company who, is primarily focused really on the profit and hasn't really expanded or spent a little, enough time in the other spaces that are, more giving back and philanthropic or however you want to look at it, can they apply the same kind of methodology, or does at its core it really require that you be able to some degree be able to check those four boxes and have some broader collective good? Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Sure. Yeah. No, I think you can definitely do it. Any organization can really do it. I've got a number of stories that I've read about. There's a great book that's called People Over Profit by Dale Partridge, and it's got a ton of stories in there, and I highly recommend checking that out. But I think, I'll kind of give you a couple of personal stories. Of course, at my most recent organization, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, it was pretty easy to find purpose. Every day you would go in, you knew that you were making a difference in the life of a child and their family. And so that was easy to kind of find that purpose. It gets a little bit harder when you think about a company, my previous organization, which is an organization called Ericsson. They're a global technology and cloud communication platform, about 120,000 employees, 10 regions around the world. And so you think about, gosh, how do you find purpose every day going into work at such a large organization that's focused on technology? They actually they got together and created a platform called Technology for Good. And some of the initiatives that they've got as part of that platform were actually employee-led initiatives. So the Technology for Good platform was designed, just as it says, to utilize their technology for good around the world. So it's things like utilizing it to connect lost refugees with their loved ones. It's designed to help educate young girls in developing countries who may not have access to education through our technology, through Ericsson's technology. And then one of the initiatives that I was involved in when I was there is called Ericsson Response. And again, that's an employee-led initiative. Back in the early 2000s, a group of employees got together at Ericsson and said, how can we really make a difference with our technology as part of this platform? And they started brainstorming, and they came up with this Ericsson Response initiative. And what it's designed to do is for developing countries who have been impacted by natural disasters and humanitarian disasters, Ericsson Response goes in and reestablishes communication where it's been lost in those countries. And that's really important because they utilize communication and networks to be able to deliver goods and supplies to people that need it in those countries. So it was a great initiative, and it was designed or created by the employees. And so I think that's what companies need to do is if they don't have something like that, I think just sit down, get a group of employees together, brainstorm, talk about how can we utilize our technology, our services, our solution, our employees. And it doesn't have to be using your technology. You could think about, gosh, you know, can we create a volunteering initiative? Can we create a community service initiative? So there's different things that you can do. It doesn't have to be every day in your work, but I think it's really important, especially when it comes to talent acquisition and talent attraction, because a lot of times candidates will join an organization based on what they're doing in the community, mm-hmm. and based on that purpose.
You know, it's interesting because coming into this conversation, I really in my head was thinking that, you know, sort of using purpose and the exercises that I imagined a company would go through really sort of was the after that they were companies that were already doing things. And this was the exercise of how to collect, you know, sort of the data around that. But it sounds like having these purpose exercises or having these conversations can even help drive a company to then really concretely define how they are going to have a purpose and how they are going to make an impact. Do you think,
yeah.
Am I right? Am I?
No, that's perfect. Yeah, no, you nailed it. I think, you know, that's what I try to promote with organizations out there when I'm speaking and when I'm talking to organizations is, you know, think about how you can integrate this every day into your business model or just into the fabric of your organization, because it does make a difference. It makes a difference with not only candidate attraction and you know your employer brand, but also retention as well. Mm-hmm. You know, people will stay with your organization longer if you've got programs like this in place, and they feel good about what they're doing every day, or they feel that you know the company is doing good things for the community and for the world.
Now, I know you're coming, you know, to the table from a TA space, from an employer brand space, but is there a right place that where this really gets owned and driven from an organization? Should it be HR? Should it be at a higher, you know, C-suite level? Like when we're talking about it actually happening within the organization, who are the drivers behind it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think it has to happen at a higher level. It has to be driven and started at a high level, but I do think you need to involve the employees in these discussions, because I think that the employees, just like with Ericsson, I think the employees have a lot of great ideas just in terms of what you can do as an organization. But I think HR could definitely be a driver. Obviously the CSR team as well, corporate social responsibility. Marketing would also be a part of marketing, and PR would also be a part of that. But I think getting the leaders together in some of those areas, and then you know, getting a group of employees together, both employees that have been there a while and are tenured, but also some new employees, mm-hmm. Who you can talk to about you know, some of the things that they would like to see at the organization as well.
Are there common pitfalls? I mean, are there places when you're working with teams that you see that there's frequently going to be a challenge or a barrier that's going to sort of slow things down or make it harder for companies to really get this off the ground? Or is this the type of thing that just sort of people innately get excited about?
Yeah, that can be a challenge, is trying to get it off the ground. I think the biggest challenge there, Courtney, is that people try to think too big sometimes. You know, they take a look at some of these other organizations and, you know, like a Tom's Shoes, for example, I mean, their platform is built on it, on purpose. And so, you know, they kind of take this giant look at purpose and say, gosh, it's so broad and so big. They have a tough time trying to figure out how they integrate it. Because maybe they can't do a one-for-one model, or they can't have you know, sustainable practices like Starbucks, for you know, or they just kind of take a look at some of these large organizations and stall out. But mm-hmm. I would say start small. You know, do take a look at, that's why I think talk to your employees, take a look at what you can do immediately, right? What are some things that don't, and it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. That's the other thing too, is I think organizations think, gosh, this is going to take a lot of time and a lot of money and resources. But I think just creating a volunteering initiative, right? And so, you know, surveying the employees and saying, hey, if we were going to create a volunteering initiative, what would matter most to you? You know, what would you like to do? And perhaps maybe it's even having a diverse volunteering initiative where people kind of choose their own. So I think that's what I would suggest, is not taking too broad of an approach, taking too big of a step. I think just starting small and creating maybe one or two different initiatives and then building from there. And I think you could eventually have something like Ericsson has, which is a technology for good platform, or a services for good platform, or whatever it might be. And you have multiple components to that platform. And I think, you know, 5 or 10 years from now, you'll look back and say, gosh, it started with, you know, one small volunteering initiative or one small community service initiative. And now look at it. So I think it's starting small and just getting started.
And so from an employer brand perspective, when we're thinking about talent attraction in particular, what are some of the more like concrete outcomes that teams should expect? They go through the process, they maybe have some programs that are already in place or that they start building. How is the TA team then taking that and showcasing it or you know, building it into the employer brand itself?
Sure. Yeah. So there's something that I wanted to share, and then I'll talk about how you can kind of build it into the employer brand. One of the things that I think employers need to understand is what makes work matter. And that is something that I've kind of spent some time thinking about and doing some research on and talking with candidates out there and employers out there. And there's really four components of what makes work matter, four key components. The first is challenging work. So just having a challenging work or new experiences, innovation, doing things that really challenge you, I think is one component. There's opportunity at the organization as well, learning and development, management, you know, you're having a good manager, a mentor, career path, stability. Then you have the third component, which is company rewards. So compensation, benefits, and so forth, work-life balance. And there's that fourth component, which is mission and purpose. So it's meaningful work. It's opportunity to make a difference. It's things like the volunteering initiatives and so forth. So I think what you want to do is think about those four quadrants in what makes work matter for candidates. And how do you integrate that into the employer brand? And it's really about differentiating the organization. That's what employer brand does. It's a strategy that really helps propel the notion of what's different, better, unique, and more compelling about the organization. And it ultimately answers the question, why choose you? Mm. So why would a candidate choose you over what they're doing now or over the competitors? And that's really what that employer brand is designed to do, is attract the people that most closely match up with the values and the mission at your organization. And so I think when you think about those four quadrants, you really want to think about, how do I figure out what is really and truly differentiating in each of these areas? What do I want to speak to as far as the work goes? How do I want to talk about opportunities at our organization? What are some of the things that are part of our mission or our purpose? And of course, what are some of those real key differentiators when it comes to company rewards? You know, a lot of people can talk about work-life balance and compensation and benefits, but all organizations can talk about that. So I think that the key here, when you're talking about the message and your employer brand, is what is it that really truly differentiates us? And sometimes it might just be, you know, one or two things that ultimately sway a candidate's decision to join your organization. So I think it's really about thinking about some of those things that only you do at your organization compared to competitors, and some of those things that you know, candidates would be attracted to. And there's some different ways that you can kind of come up with that.
Do you think in our current space, environment, economy, where there are so many people that are out of work, that this is going to
matter less to candidates, or is it going to ultimately still be a critical piece of their decision-making process?
No, I think it's going to be, I think it's still going to be a critical part of their decision process. I think that, you know, while there are a lot of people out of work right now, there are pockets of areas in different industries that are hiring, and there's a lot of jobs out there and a lot of competition. So I think, you know, when it comes to trying to attract the right talent, you really want to make sure that it's the talent that closely matches up with, you know, the mission and values and culture at the organization. So I do think it matters, even though there are a lot of candidates out there. I think there's still going to be a lot of competition, and ultimately you want to make sure that those people that you're hiring are not just the best talent, but that they're the right talent and the right fit for your organization.
So on a personal level, I'm curious, because you clearly are very passionate and have spent a lot of time in this space researching and talking to people, like you said. Was there something that happened for you that made this click, that made purpose sort of bubble up to the top of the list of, wow, this is really important and I need to spend more time on this?
Yes. Yeah. Great question, actually. There was. So it was actually when I was working with Ericsson and I had an opportunity to join Ericsson Response. And I think I started really thinking about it at that time and thinking about, gosh, this is a great opportunity for me to really make a positive difference and a positive impact, not only at my organization, but in communities and in people's lives around the world. And being able to volunteer for that initiative as part of my organization, my job, my profession. And so I started really thinking about it at that point in time and started doing a lot more research on it, talking with different companies, different organizations about how they do things, did a lot of research on different companies, like those one-for-one models and so forth, and started to develop some ideas around that and kind of talk more about that. I've done a few sessions at some different HR conferences about it, and it's really resonating with a lot of people out there. I know when I've been speaking at the SHRM conferences, the annual SHRM conferences, I have a lot of people come up to me afterwards and really talk about how much they enjoyed it and what they want to do for their organizations. And it really inspires them to think about what they can do for their organization. So for me, I think it was definitely the aha moment when I joined Ericsson Response. And that really led me to the next opportunity for me, which was with Children's. And I knew that I wanted that purpose in my job and in my life. And, you know, working with a pediatric healthcare organization gave me that opportunity, not just to, you know, have a job and make a paycheck, but also to know that every day I'm coming in and making a difference in the life of a child and the family. So I think that's really something that I want to look at in my next career move as well, is an opportunity to really be able to make a difference and have that purpose in what I do every day.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, for me personally, so for several years, almost a decade, I was in the healthcare space myself in recruiting and TA. And so I know that sort of feeling that you're speaking of, where I'm not the nurse, I'm not the person out on the floor by any stretch. But my participation in bringing that person in creates a great sense of pride and accomplishment, and feeling like I'm giving back to my community in a way that I don't know that, you know, I would necessarily feel in every environment. So I can certainly connect, you know, with you in that space and how that makes a difference. And it sounds like your experience at Ericsson had a pretty powerful sort of impact to your career, you know, trajectory and how you thought about your future and next steps.
Yeah, it did. It did. And I think it also has an impact on how I think about employer branding as well, and talent acquisition in general, talent acquisition, talent attraction for organizations. One story I'll tell you was when I was with Ericsson and training for Ericsson Response. So all of the new volunteers every year for Ericsson Response go to a week-long training in Sweden. And I was having dinner with the other volunteers, people that were coming into the training, and sitting across from a guy that graduated from Stanford University just recently, and top of his class, and had a number of other job opportunities that were presented to him. And I just asked him, I said, you know, I have to ask you, why'd you choose Ericsson? I mean, it's a great organization, don't get me wrong, but I know that he was being courted by other companies, some of the big tech players, you know, out in Silicon Valley coming out of Stanford. Mm-hmm. And he said, honestly, Matt, he said, it was the opportunity to join Ericsson Response. He said, that was what made the difference. And, you know, that was another kind of key moment for me. Like, you don't have to be talking about 15 different things trying to attract the right talent. You know, sometimes it's one or maybe two things that will ultimately sway that candidate's decision to join your organization. And a lot of times it's going to be that opportunity to make a difference. You know, candidates these days will take less money at organizations when they know they're going to make that positive difference. And not to say that you have to pay less, but I think that, you know, it's a key part of your employer brand. And mm-hmm. I think it's a key attractor for students and young professionals coming in. Universum actually does a study every year where they survey hundreds of thousands of students and young professionals around the world. And every year they look at those top attractors, and purpose is always in the top five. And so I think this is not just with students and young professionals, but also more experienced professionals as well. And it's not just here in the U.S., it's globally. So mm-hmm. definitely something I think that a lot of employers need to think about.
Well, Matt, I have loved having this conversation with you today. Before we wrap up, though, is there any key piece of advice that you didn't get to share today, or maybe something that we did talk about and you really want to underscore for the folks that are listening?
Sure. Yeah. I'll just close today. Just, you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, just in terms of how you weave this into your employer brand, kind of that process. And it's pretty simple, but I think a lot goes into each step. I think the first thing that you need to think about is the message, kind of uncovering that value proposition and crafting your message and your talking points. That's really where you weave purpose in. And you could do that through things like qualitative and quantitative research with the employees, focus groups and surveys, engagement surveys, doing a market analysis really kind of uncovering that message. And then you want to think about communicating that message. That's really the second step, is how do I launch this? I would definitely launch it internally first and really get the employees engaged and incorporate, you know, in an advocacy program, a referral program, some training, and then ultimately launch it externally. And then finally, I think it's measuring it just to make sure that what you're doing is working. I really look at it in two ways, doing a health check, which is how healthy are you as an employer? Those are metrics that only you can see. So things like your career site visitors, applicants, hires, reduced agency and search firm spend, referrals, increased referrals, hiring manager and candidate experience results. And then the second way you can measure is visibility. So how visible are you as an employer? Those are things like your Glassdoor ratings, your social media reach and engagement, employer awards as well. So you definitely want to kind of make sure that you're taking into account all three of those, you know, your message, your communication strategy and your metrics. And I think ultimately you have to make sure that it's authentic and compelling and also differentiates you from the competition. And, you know, it's so important, Courtney, you talked a little bit about it earlier, just with candidates. I think there's a statistic that I'll leave you with, which I think is really interesting. And it's done by HubSpot, and it says this year, 2020, customers will manage 85% of their relationships without talking to a human. And it's a little bit scary if you think about it, but when was the last time you called someone and actually got someone on the call, customer service, and actually got someone on the line? And so, you know, it's a lot of times it's automated these days. And the same is true in recruitment. How many times does a candidate get a chance to talk with a recruiter before they apply with your organization? Not very often. So you want to make sure that candidates are finding the right information and that it's positive in what they're finding. And that's really employer branding. It's not just about apply now, but it's about keeping your organization top of mind with your target audience. So when they're ready to make a move, they think about your company.
Yeah, I'm glad you shared that last piece. That number is startling, but you're right. As I'm thinking in my head, as you were talking, I was like rolling through the checklist of interactions I've had from a customer service level. And
that's right. Yeah.
Very, very few have been by phone. Mostly it's been by bot. So I think that is something key to keep in mind and an opportunity there. So, Matt, if folks want to talk to you more about purpose in their employer brand, or if they just want to connect with you in general, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. Yeah. They can actually go, I have an About Me page, so they can actually go to about.me/MattJKaiser, M-A-T-T, middle initial J, last name Kaiser, K-A-I-S-E-R. And they can find a little bit more information about me out there. It also has a link to my Twitter and LinkedIn page as well. And I'm happy to connect with anyone and share ideas as well. Always like connecting out there and hearing about what others are doing and also sharing ideas from my experience as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Matt. And for the folks that have been listening, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. I know I did. And have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Courtney.
Ooh, I feel like I was in class, like I was listening to the professor, schooling me on all things branding, employer branding.
So. Oh, but from such a good place. Like, I love purpose. I really do. I don't care if people think it's an overutilized concept, because I certainly do not. I challenge myself to work through purpose and or by purpose. And so I love hearing how he is really challenging employers to apply it.
Yeah. I really like, of all the things you said, the thing that I really liked was towards the end when he asked the guy, why did you choose us, choose Ericsson? And he was like, you were top of mind. And so that's really, really the holy grail of it all, right? Mm-hmm. Having your company at the top of somebody's mind when they're looking to make a move. That's the holy grail of it all, I think, right?
I mean, I think that's kind of the whole purpose behind your brand.
Padoom boots. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
What a great conversation.
Professional, sir. I should have asked about the Kaiser role thing. I'm bummed I didn't.
We can email them.
If there are any questions that you, dear listener, have wished you could have asked, maybe you do want to ask them about the Kaiser role thing. If you do, send us an email and we will pass it on. You can reach us at TribePod, TRIBEPOD, just like it says in the title of the podcast, TribePod at proactivetalent.com. Operators are standing by. Not literally, but we check our email from time to time. If all minds are clear, I'll just say bye-bye.
Courtney. Bye, y'all.
Bye.